It's Brian, your lunatic friend. I'm covering Jesus and music, the story of my life in 1995 and 96. In the last episode, I mentioned meeting Scott Sheriff, keyboard player and band leader for this tour. I was recording Blue Skies at the same time, and a couple of songs I wrote with him would be on that record. But before the release of Blue Skies, I was touring My Utmost for His Highest with multiple artists. But not everybody on the record was on the tour. Other artists that were on the record were for him: Amy Grant, Gary Chapman, Cindy Morgan, Michael W. Smith, and Phillips Craig and Dean. Oh, and Point of Grace. The only people I remember being on the tour was Sandy Patty and Stephen Curtis Chapman and Twyla Paris and myself. Seems like a few of the people that weren't on the tour did some spot dates with us, but I don't remember now. That time of my life was pretty much a blur. One of the first things I remember was having breakfast with Stephen Curtis Chapman when we'd get into town at different places. He had opened for one of my shows at Marriott's Great America on the West Coast a few years back, and another time in the Midwest for an outdoor concert. But it wasn't long after that that he was headlining his own shows, and he was drawing a bigger audience than I ever did. He had come up as fast as Carmen in the way of popularity, and when you watch opening acts get bigger than you, you start to wonder what you might be doing wrong. All I'd heard was he was just the nicest guy. So being on tour with him, I was actually looking for defects of character. You know, some kind of whininess or sarcastic humor like myself. And after 3 weeks, I discovered that he was just a stinking nice guy. Straightforward, honest, sincere, basically everything that I had a hard time being. But I would also get schooled by Sandy Patty on this tour. Secretly, I'd always thought that I could sing as high as she could. I remember seeing her early on at the Sunshine Festival in Minnesota. I happened to be playing the same day, where she just sat at a piano and held the audience for an entire hour just doing regular songs and telling little entertaining stories. Until then, I'd only heard her doing big orchestrated arrangements with almost an operatic voice. I would sing a duet with her on this tour called Through the Years. You can hear that on YouTube. I remember this one time I was standing backstage at an afternoon concert in an amphitheater while she was singing on stage, and I thought, I'll just sing along with her. And that's when I discovered that she could hit some high notes that could throw my back out. And I would learn that off stage, she was as down to earth as anybody I ever had in my band. Her songs were kind of formal, but she wasn't. Twyla Paris was somebody else that I didn't know much about. Her music seemed more church-friendly as well. I was pretty impressed on the lyrics on one of her songs, The Warrior Is a Child. I didn't see much of her on tour. I don't think she was on the bus much. Seems like she was dealing with a family member's health problems, juggling a home life with a road. Now, I don't know if you know all of the people that I just listed off for this tour, and the project as well, but it was an A-list of artists at the time in Nashville. I might have been the only one from the West Coast. Word Records was thinking big. Lauren Ballman wanted to do not only this record, My Utmost for His Highest, based on the book by Oswald Chambers. He anticipated enormous success, and they had plans to have every artist on it do a record of their own with the same title and a subheading, and my album would be My Utmost for His Highest, Quiet Prayers. But the biggest surprise to me was that they picked me to be the first one out of all these artists to do a whole nother record. But of course, the song that I had recorded on the first record was called A Heart Like Mine, and it was up for Song of the Year. And that was another surprise, too. Number one, being in a Song of the Year category for inspirational artists, which was never a category they ever put me in. The word inspirational meant safe for most mainstream conservative churches. And I actually thought I might win, so I got a seat in the front row. Okay, maybe two rows back. But lo and behold, this was the first year that the Song of the Year wasn't a mellow ballad. DC Talk won, and I don't remember what the song was, but I think it was Jesus Is Just All Right. But I don't know now, and I don't think anybody else does either. That's the thing about award shows. Very seldom can anyone remember who won in what category in what year. Not without Googling it. But I assume that it looks good on your resume going forward and when they have your memorial service. Anyway, I didn't win, so no need to die. And they still wanted me to do the record. But this wouldn't be a record that I would spend a lot of time on. First of all, there were three instrumentals that Dan Postuma did. The songs picked would be mostly hymns from way back. And the no vocal songs would be Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and then a mashup of El Shaddai and You Are My Hiding Place. And an instrumental of A Heart Like Mine, because why should I sing it twice? All done in pristinely reverent, rich and serene in style, great musicians, but I wasn't there. My producer would pick most of the songs that I would sing on this project. The songs Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go, I Need Thee Every Hour, and Take My Life and Let It Be. And then he wanted me to do a Bill Gaither song, because Dan Postuma, by the way, used to play bass with Bill Gaither Group. Bill had a song called Come Holy Spirit, and it would actually be one of the highlight songs on this record. So that leaves three songs. They let me pick two of my favorites, and I would pick I Surrender All because I went forward at the altar several times under that song back when I was a kid. And then I picked a song called As the Deer, mostly because I heard my youngest son singing it in his room to a children's choir, and it just sounded absolutely angelic. And because the album was called Quiet Prayers, Dan Postum wanted me to do I Love You With My Life, only turn it around as if I was me speaking to God. They would call it Brian's Hymn. Nevertheless, I still wanted to write at least one song for this project, and I started on just the piano because I wanted to speak directly to God about who He is to me. And the opening lines came so quickly that I didn't even have to think about it. When I turned to you, you were always waiting. Because that's the one thing that I was always irritated with making appointments for counseling. You couldn't just walk in and see somebody. And the second line was, with a heart that understands before I speak. Because I'd changed counselors a few times, and you had to start all over from the beginning because this guy didn't know your story. And then I would say, and I learned from you all that really matters, as though a million years go by, you'll still love me. And then I would sing, I no longer look for a place to hide because I know where I belong. Because let's face it, even in church circles, you can't tell everybody everything. Over my career, I had learned to hide things because not everybody wants to know what's going on in your life, especially if you have any secrets. I'd had personal experience with churches putting a little distance between me and them. Suddenly, they just would never call you back. Oh, they must have heard something about you. And I was living with some bitterness because I wasn't accepted in every crowd. And then I heard someone say after a concert, Brian, the Bible doesn't say anywhere that you should trust anybody but Jesus. And I'd never heard it put that way before. And in the second verse of this song, I would sing, when I turn to you, you are watching over me through the eyes that look beyond the faults I see. Then I learned from you, you were always merciful. And I'm pretty sure He's the only one that has forgotten my transgressions. You could tag that onto something that Maya Angelou said, people will never forget how you made them feel. But then I'm like that too. Even when I do forgive someone, I don't forget. Interesting to me that I can forget the lyrics to songs or where I put my car keys. Oh, but I remember that time where you did such and such and how it made me feel. Needless to say, my salvation is okay, but my redemption is still a work in progress. Like it says in John, we're God's children, but what we will be has not yet appeared. But when He appears, we shall be like Him. Everybody's always talking about that heavenly body we're going to get, but I don't hear much celebration about a heavenly mind where we have the ability to forget things that were done to us. And right now, I forgot that at some point, I need to stop talking. You've been listening to Jesus and Music on NutshellSermons.com. I thought I just covered two records on this episode because I didn't think I had that much to say. On that first record, I was up for Song of the Year and lost. But the next year, Quiet Prayers would win Inspirational Album of the Year. I was so convinced that I had no chance of winning Inspirational Album of the Year that I didn't even go out and sit in the audience because I didn't want that experience again, sitting in the front row when they tell you who the loser is. I was backstage talking to Kenny Rogers and his new girlfriend about his restaurant that I like so much, so I didn't even get to thank God and the Academy. But I'm not going to forget to thank you for finding some value in these stories. I'll just continue to be your lunatic friend on the back row, where you're never dismissed.